بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خروج عليه السلام من الغار للمدينة، ثم خرج من الغار فأخذ على الساحل، فجعل أبو بكر يسير أمامه، فإذا خشي أن يؤتى من خلفه سار خلفه، فلم يزل كذلك مسيره. وكان أبو بكر رضي الله عنه رجلا معروفا في الناس، فإذا لقيه لاق فيقول لأبي بكر: من هذا معك؟ فيقول: هاد يهديني، يريد الهدى في الدين، ويحسب الآخر دليلا. حتى إذا كان بأبيات كذيد وكان على طريقهما، جاء إنسان إلى بني مدلج فقال: قد رأيت راكبين نحو السائل، فإني لأجدهما لصاحب قريش الذي تبتغون. فقال سراقة بن مالك: ذلك راكبان ممن بعثنا في طلبة القوم. ثم دعا جاريته فسارها، فأمرها أن تخرج فرسه، ثم خرج في آثارهما. قال سراقة: فدنوت منهما، فذكر قصته كما ستأتي. قال الهيثمي: وفيه يعقوب بن حميد بن الكاسب، وثقه ابن حبان وغيره، وضعفه أبو حاتم وغيره، وبقية رجاله رجال صحيح. ثنى عمر رضي الله عنه على أبي بكر رضي الله عنه، وذكره خوف أبي بكر على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما ذهب للغر. وأخرج البيهقي عن ابن سيرين قال: وذكر رجال على عهد عمر رضي الله عنه، فكأنهم فضلوا عمر على أبي بكر رضي الله عنهما. فبلغ ذلك عمر فقال: والله ليلة من أبي بكر خير من آل عمر، وليوم من أبي بكر خير من آل عمر. لقد خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة انطلق إلى الغار ومعه أبو بكر، فجعل يمشي ساعة بين يدي وساعة خلفه، حتى فطن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: يا أبا بكر، ما لك تمشي ساعة خلفي وساعة بين يدي؟ فقال: يا رسول الله، أذكر الطلب فأمشي خلفك، ثم أذكر الرصد فأمشي بين يديك. فقال: يا أبا بكر، لو كان شيء لأحببت أن يكون بك دوني؟ قال: نعم، والذي بعثك بالحق. فلما انتهيا إلى الغار، قال أبو بكر: مكانك يا رسول الله حتى أستبرئ لك الغار. فدخل فاستبرأه، حتى إذا كان ذكر أنه لم يستبرئ جهرته. فقال: مكانك يا رسول الله حتى أستبرئ. فدخل فاستبرأ، ثم قال: انزل يا رسول الله. فنزل، ثم قال عمر: والذي نفسي بيده، تلك الليلة خير من آل عمر. كذا في البداية. وأخرجه الحاكم أيضا كما في منتقب كنز الأمال. وأخرجه البغوي أن ابن أبي مليكة مرسلا بمعناه. قال ابن كثير: هذا مرسل حسن كما في كنز الأمال. خوف أبي بكر رضي الله عنه على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهما في الغار. وأخرج الحافظ أبو بكر القاضي عن الحسن البصري رضي الله عنه قال: انطلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبو بكر رضي الله عنه إلى الغار، وجاءت قريش يطلبون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكانوا إذا رأوا على باب الغار نسج الأنكبوت قالوا: لم يدخل أحد. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قائما يصلي، وأبو بكر يرتقب. فقال أبو بكر للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: هؤلاء قومك يطلبونك، أما والله ما على نفسي أئل، ولكن مخافة أن أرى فيك ما أكره. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أبا بكر، لا تخف، إن الله معنا. وعند أحمد أن أنس رضي الله عنه أن أبا بكر رضي الله عنه حدثه قال: قلت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن في الغار: لو أن أحدهم نظر إلى قدميه لأبصرنا تحت قدميه. فقال: يا أبا بكر، ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما. كذا في البداية. وأخرجه إذن الشيخان والترمذي وابن سعد وابن أبي شيبة وغيرهم كما في الكنز. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So this is the incident of the hijra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah had chosen Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the noble companion to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this migration. So mentioned here, then the both of them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, left the cave and he took the coastal route. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu traveled in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he feared that, when he perceived any danger from the back, then he went in the back. And they continued the journey in this manner. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a very person who people knew, ma'rufan, people knew him, and he was familiar amongst the people, because he used to take the straight route. He used to take the straight route to Syria, because he was a businessman, so the people on this route knew him. So when a person, when people used to meet him, they used to ask, فَيَقُولُ لِيَبِي بَكِّ مَنْ هَذَا مَعَكَ, who is with you? So he used to reply, a guide who is showing me the way. And here Abu Bakr intended, he is my guide, that he is showing me the way of deen. And the people thought he was just a guide. Until they reached a place, the settlement of a tribe of Hudayd, and this was on the way. And a person came to a person from the Banu Mudlaj tribe, came and said, I have seen two riders on this coastal route, and I think that they are the two men whom the Quraysh are seeking. So Suraqah bin Malik, he said, no, they are just two riders who we sent to do some work for their people. Because Suraqah bin Malik, he was after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was intending to get the prize. The prize was 100 camels, whoever brought the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he was the person, so he just tried to shift the attention of people. So he had ulterior motives, so he just made the statement. Then he called his slave girl, and he whispered in her ears, and he told her to please bring his horse. And she brought his horse, and then he began to trail, and set out to track Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then Suraqah says, then I came close to them, and this incident will be mentioned later. This is the second incident here. The Umar radiallahu anhu praises Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu fears for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when they leave the cave. Ibn Sirin mentions that during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu, some Sahaba were mentioned, and as though they gave virtue for Umar radiallahu anhu over Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When this information came to Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, Wallahi, Laylatun min Abi Bakrin khayrun min Ali Umar. One night of Abu Bakr is better than the family of Umar, and a day of Abu Bakr is better than the family of Umar. And then he mentions, Abu Bakr, Umar mentions that the Nabi Sassam, he came out with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sassam came out with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they were heading towards the cave. And فَجَعَلَ يَمْشِي سَاعَةً بَيْنِ يَدِيهِ. And sometimes Abu Bakr used to move in front, and sometimes he used to move behind, until Nabi Sassam noticed this. And he said, oh Abu Bakr, what is the matter with you? Sometimes you walk ahead of me, sometimes you walk behind me. So Abu Bakr radiallahu replied, أَذْكُرُ الطَّلَبْ, I think that someone is searching for us, and is going to attack us from the back. So then I walk behind. And when I think someone is going to attack you and wait in ambush for me, for you in the front, then I go in front. So Nabi Sallam replied, Ya Abu Bakr, لَوْ كَانَ شَيْءٌ لَأَحْبَبْتَ أَن يَكُونَ بِكَ دُونِي. That if something has to happen, then you wish that it must happen to you, not to me. So Abu Bakr replies, Na'am walladhi ba'athaka bilhaq. Yes, this is the case. That if anything has to happen, then it must happen to me. If anyone attacks, they must attack me, but they must not attack you. This was the love that Umar Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now they continued the journey until they reached the cave. When they came to the cave, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told Rasulullah sallam, just wait. He goes in the cave, he cleans the cave. And when he was about to come out, he remembered that he had not cleaned the holes. So he goes back into the cave and he cleans all the holes. And then he enters, then he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you can enter the cave. Nabi sallam enters the cave. Then here, Umar, وَقَالَ عُمَرْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَتِلْكَ اللَّيْلَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ آلِ عُمَرْ. That this night of Abu Bakr was better than the entire family of Umar radiallahu anhu. The chapter of the fear of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu upon Rasulullah while they were in the cave. As An-Basri rahimahullah narrates that they both went to the cave and the Quraysh began to search for them. They came out in search of them. However, when they saw that a spider had spun a web in front of the cave, they said that they came to the conclusion that no one has entered the cave. And in this condition, Rasulullah was in this condition that he was performing salah and Abu Bakr was keeping watch. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرِ لِلنَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said to Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ these are your people and they are searching for you. And he said that I have no concern for myself, but I fear that I may see something that will be unpleasant. That he was worried that some harm might come to Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So here Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ totally composed. فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ. Do not fear, Allah is with us. And the narration says that when these kuffar came right at the foot of the cave, then he mentioned that they are so close. If any one of them looks at his feet, looks towards his feet, then he will spot us beneath him. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, then Rasulullah SAW consoled Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bithnaini Allahu thalithuhuma. مَا ظَنُّكُمَ بِثْنَيْنِ What is your thought of two people? Allah is the third. So we understand from this incident we see that the love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah is also unmatchable. Cannot even imagine, this was true and genuine love. We see that when he perceives that these enemies attacking from the front, then he goes in the front. When he perceives the enemies attacking from the back, he goes at the back. All the time he's only concerned of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They come to the cave again, he goes inside, makes the cave very, very comfortable for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's coming out of the cave, then he realizes that he did not clean the holes, he goes back and cleans the holes. So all the time, he's only concerned of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, that is why that Rasulullah also gave, because of his love that he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Nabi sallam also gave him this virtue, and he said that all my Sahaba, I have recompensated them. But when it comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what he has done for Islam and what he has done for deen, then only can Allah Ta'ala can compensate him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentioned once, something to the effect that three things pleases me the most, looking at your face, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spending my wealth on you, O Nabi of Allah, and that my daughter is in your marriage. These three things make me very, very happy. So this was the love that he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we see, if a person will have this love, for that aqidat and muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will also progress in this path. That we have to have the true genuine love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have to have that true aqidat, that full belief that definitely only in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our complete success. And you see that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had this love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much of virtues for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something to the effect that Jannat has 8 doors, and every door will desire that Abu Bakr must honor that door and enter from it. Imagine, the door will feel honored that Abu Bakr entered from me. So this was the maqam that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had reached. Then we look at, in this incident, another lesson we learn from here, that while they in the cave, the composure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his trust and his reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama explained to us that the iman of anbiya always increasing. Why? Because they always giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they always calling to Allah ta'ala, so the iman is always increasing. Iman of malaika, the iman is on a very high level, but it's stagnant because they have seen the unseen. And iman of us, the ummah of Rasulullah, fluctuates. At times it increases, at times it decreases. So the more we invite towards Allah Ta'ala, the more we call towards Allah Ta'ala, the more we do good deeds, our iman will increase. So we see that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also, here in the cave now, again, Abu Bakr is very, very worried. Obviously, Abu Bakr's iman is of a very high level. That ulama explained that if you take the iman of the entire ummah and put it on one side of the scale, and take the ummah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the other side of the scale, then the iman of Abu Bakr will outweigh the iman of the entire ummah. That was the strength of his iman. But here, his concern was that no harm must come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, in the cave also now, when they're there now, and the kuffar are right there, so imagine, he's very worried. So here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تخف إن الله معنا. Do not fear, Allah ta'ala is with us. So we understand from here that how we can also bring this, that Rasulullah, because he is trust with Allah was of the highest level. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever will put his trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for him. So here, Rasulullah SAW teaches us that his level of iman and his trust in Allah Ta'ala. And here again, Rasulullah SAW goes in the cave also, at that crunching moment, the kuffar are searching for him, not scared, not worried. He just starts performing salah. You see, this is the highest level of salah also. Ulama explained to us, the salah of the muqarrabin. Salah of the muqarrabin is, what is the level of their salah? Is when they have any worry, any fear, any tiredness. Imagine now, such a long journey, they travel for so long on foot, or on camelback, but now they reach that cave now. So obviously this was walking, so he must have been very, very tired. But here Rasulullah, when he enters the cave also, he performs salah. Mention of Muhammad Ilyas ibn Rahmatullah Ali, once it was a very, very tiring gush. They walked for like a few hours. And now when they came back, they were very, very tired. So they were very, very tired and they were very, very hungry. So one sati said, hum jaldi jaldi khayenge. Hum jaldi jaldi namaz parenge. Phir aram se khayenge. We'll eat, we'll read namaz quickly. And then we'll have a nice meal, you know, we'll relax. So Muhammad Ilyas ibn Rahmatullah Ali replied, hum jaldi jaldi khayenge, phir aram se namaz padenge. We'll eat quickly, and then we'll read namaz nicely. So we see this is called the Salat of the Muqarrabin. That the ulama explained, what is the Salat of Muqarrabin? Even when they're tired, when they start Salah, then they forget all the tiredness goes away, and that disappears. Because now it's a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also in the cave, what he's doing? Performing Salah. So we should also try and understand now, also many another lesson we learn from the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, why he enjoyed so much of privileges. Why? Because whatever he had, you know, on the incident of Tabuk, he gave everything. On the hijrat also, on this hijrat also, whatever he had by him, at that time he had 6,000 dirhams. He left nothing behind for his family. He took his entire wealth, and he went and spent it on, and this same wealth was accepted, Allah accepted this wealth to purchase the land in Madina Munawwara. The land where Masjid Nabawi is, this land from these two orphans was purchased with the wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So all the good that comes in the ummah and all the hidayah that's spent from Madina Munawwara, everything in the account of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So ulama explained this is the highest level, the level of Siddiq. So we should also strive to achieve this level. That our Allah must accept every ability, everything Allah give us. Our wealth Allah give us, our health Allah give us, our abilities, whatever we enjoy is all the favors of Allah. So whatever we're going to invest in the bank of Allah, we're going to see the results of it forever and forever. So how we can make that intention, Ya Allah, make that desire, make that dua in our heart, Ya Allah. How Allah, you accepted Abu Bakr on the tirtib of Siddiq. Pura jaan, pura waqt, pura maal, entire everything. So we have to make that dua, Allah. Ya Allah, you accept all whatever. The ulama explained, you can't say your whole life, because we don't know how much of life is left, remaining life now. So whatever life is left, Allah, put ourselves forward. Ya Allah, you accept the remaining portion of my life. Whatever wealth you gave me, Allah, you accept it. Whatever abilities and faculties you gave me, Allah, you accept it for what? For the uplift of your deen. Abu Bakr mentioned the three things make me most happy. That's looking at your face, spending my wealth on you, and that my daughter is in your nikah. So we should also make that intention and dua. Allah Ta'ala must accept us. They say this is the effort, it's not the effort of qabiliyat, this is the effort of qubuliyat. It's not how intelligent you are, or how wealthy you are, which family you come from, what car you drive, or where you stay. This means nothing in the eyes of Allah. Allah is the effort of qubuliyat. So you have to ask Allah Ta'ala to accept us. Hajjab Dwab Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is right at the end of his life. Allah humko qubool farma, Allah accept me. Mustn't be said that whole life we did the effort, in the end Allah deprives us. So if you ask Allah, till this day, marte marte karna hai, karte karte marna hai. Karte karte, if you do your effort, this effort, Allah must accept us through this effort till we die. And while we're dying also, Allah must accept us also to do this effort. We may make dua that Allah must give us more than in his path, inshallah. We also know, Shah Buzari also, that we have come here now, and how we can use our time correctly. And now, inshallah, we'll be going down for meals also. So we should go down, try and wash our hands, try and fulfill all the sunnahs of Rasulullah, wash our hands, and eat also in a manner that is pleasing to Rasulullah, read the udwa before eating, and also not waste any food. So we see very common what's happening to you, a lot of wastage is taking place. Allah says, Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifin. Allah does not like those people who waste also. And those, inshallah, we request all the brothers to also bring to sleep here, those who are sleeping here, make sure that you place a sheet or a bedding, and we need to, you should not sleep directly on the carpet. Also, inshallah, we know Istima will be taking place on the 9th, 10th and 11th of August, inshallah. So for this now, on the 5th of May, inshallah, there will be a provincial jury, inshallah, for those areas requesting the Istima. Those areas, so we should all try and go back now, make fikr, inshallah, how if we make dua that Allah must accept our town, Allah must accept our locality also, to host the Istima, inshallah. Whatever good will come out from the Istima, whatever jamaat will come on the path of, if we put ourselves forward, all the good that will come out from the ijtima, inshallah, Allah will give us a shay in there also. We'll try and do this, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك، ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك، ولك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا، ولك الحمد لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما وأهله. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين، ويا ذا القوة المتين، يا راحم المساكين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا حي يا قيوم، برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا، وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم، وحب من يحبك، وحب عمل يبلغنا ويقربنا إلى حبك. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقضاء. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان، واجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها، وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا، وأصلح ذات بيننا، واهدنا سبل السلام، وجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن، وبارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وجعلنا شاكرين لنعمتك، مثنين بها قابليها واتباع علينا. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان، وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، وجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم انصر المسلمين، اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان، خاصة في غزة يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، سلام على المرسلين.